Hi, everyone. This is Julie May with Wonders and Worries, and I want to welcome you back for our next podcast series. This topic today that we are focusing on is on self-care. In the last podcast, we talked about stress. The tools that we will be working with today will help us get better with dealing with the stress. But it is important to understand there is no such thing as a stress-free life. Part of our life is dealing with stress. With that said, we also acknowledge that right now is an unsettling time for all of us. In this country, we're having to learn how to balance our modified work schedules. We're having to do classroom curriculums at home. We have canceled vacations. We're not able to as easily access our therapy services or doctor's appointments. And we're having limited contact with people outside of our home. And for our Wonders and Worries family, all of this is happening while we are continuing treatment for your illnesses. So that's an added stress. It's crisis care right now, and we acknowledge that way. And we know that in no way does it feel comfortable. This session is about carving out the self-care where you can, but acknowledging that it may not be your very best work. Here with me today, I have colleague and friend, Crystal Wilkins. Crystal, why don't you introduce yourself?
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me, Julie. So my name is Crystal Wilkins, and I am a program director at Wonders and Worries. And I have been a child life specialist for 17 years, which makes me a little crazy to say that out loud. But they've been 17 great years. 13 years of those were spent in children's hospitals working with kiddos who were sick and their siblings. And then I have been at Wonders and Worries for 4 years and have loved every minute of it. I started out as a PRN child life specialist and then went to full time and then recently switched to the program director role about 2 years ago. I'm from San Angelo. I love the water. I love sunshine. Good coffee.
It's so nice to have you here, Crystal. Crystal is such an expert in our field, and I know that today she will have incredible self-care contributions for you guys.
Thank you.
Okay, so kind of moving into this, we're going to start, Crystal's going to start first of all with just kind of breaking down a little bit of our anatomy to help give us a good foundation for where we will begin as we move forward with talking about self-care.
Yeah, so one thing that Julie and I were discussing before we started this was just that we need to give you guys a little bit of a base of how we look at kids when we first meet them, and honestly, how we look at all humans. So every parent that comes to us, every colleague that comes to us, it's important to have this base understanding of how we are designed so that we are connecting in helpful ways. But one thing that I'll try not to nerd out too long on brain development, that I think it's important to think through how our brain is designed or wired, however you want to term that. And we've been given a lot of great resources. Over the last 10 to 20 years, there's been a ton of research done on brain development by neuroscientists, and it really helps us understand how emotions develop, how we are growing and thriving and resilient amidst crisis and amidst stress, and what are the things that we need to be healthy. And so that's really cool. But there's three kind of primary components in our brain, and we develop from the bottom up. And so the bottom part of the brain, which we call the reptilian brain, is the most primitive. It's the part that is online in utero, so before we're even born, and is developing at that point. And it's the part that keeps us alive. It's the part that helps with respiration, with circulation, with blood pressure, all of those kinds of things that keep us literally alive. And then it also keeps us safe. And so there are reflexes and actions that we know to take when I touch something that's hot or when I hear a car beep at me. There's a natural reflexive response that happens that my body is designed to just react. And that's to help keep me safe. And so I don't have to think on a complex level, oh, Crystal, that's a little warm. No, my body just does that, which is awesome. The middle part of the brain is more of the emotional brain, and this is where emotional regulation starts to happen. This usually comes online around age 2 and is developing throughout our lifespan. But this is the part where We learn how to name and tame our emotions. And this is the part where if you've ever lived with a toddler, you know that it gets very emotional in the ages of 2 to 4. And kids are trying to figure out, you know, what they're feeling, that their feelings are different than their parents, and how to stay in control even when their feelings are somewhat overwhelming. And then the upper part of our brain is what we call the cortex. It's the most complicated and sophisticated. This is the part of our brain that helps with problem solving and moral reasoning. If you're doing math, you're using that part of your brain. But one of the things that we also know is that we can oftentimes get stuck in the lower parts of our brain. And so if we don't feel safe, if we feel very highly under stress, if our emotions are kind of all over the place, we're going to camp out more in that bottom part of the brain versus using those higher parts of the brain. They don't feel as accessible. And that can be really frustrating for older kids, for teenagers, and for adults when we get stuck in those lower parts of our brains. We don't necessarily function at the high capacity that we're used to, and we just kind of feel out of sorts or don't feel like we are capable of as much as we would like to. And so I think that's an important piece for us to recognize when we're thinking about stress. We're thinking about how everyday, normal, day-to-day stress happens, and then certainly with an illness, and then certainly with an illness and pandemic, there's a lot of stress that's affecting you. And as we move forward, we're going to talk about self-care strategies holistically. So looking at mind, body, spirit, and how we take care of ourselves, recognizing that the care that we provide helps calm down those lower parts of our brain so that we can access the higher parts of our brain and function more holistically like we hope to. So I'm going to pass the baton to Julie at this point for that.
Perfect. Thanks, Crystal. So kind of talking about after understanding our anatomy of our brain, we move into kind of how our coping develops. So the early things that we have with coping, it comes innate. If we cry, we get fed. If we need nurturing, we cry out, we root, we use our innate processes. Through time, it becomes modeled by parents and friends and entertainment. And then at some point, we start to develop our own sense of self-regulation for our own individual bodies. It's important to realize that the tools and different topics we're going to walk through, they're not for everybody. You're going to find what works best for your own body versus what works best for maybe someone else in your family. In terms of today, we're really going to break it down into 5 different types of self-care. So we're going to focus on physical, emotional, psychological, then look at the spiritual side of things and professional care. Kind of in starting out with physical self-care, it's important to realize that this is a very versatile part of our body and our way to coping. It's not just movement, but also anything from a Netflix binge to an hour on the treadmill. There is lots of activities that are available out there to enhance our overall physical well-being and then to contribute to our overall mental health. Examples of this, they could be eating healthier, getting regular exercise, wearing clothes we like. Crystal and I were just joking. We've been wearing lots and lots of yoga pants, and it's very unlikely that you've been dressing to the nines in your time at home, but if you have, good for you if it helps you feel better. It might be taking time out of your day to style your hair, put on makeup. While many of these activities might sound kind of superficial, I think they're essential sometimes for maintaining lower levels of stress and recreating that routine of self-care. Sometimes showering, putting on clothes, just moving your body can set your mindset into a space that helps you to be able to better handle the stressors of your home environment. So looking at physical self-care can also be looking at your physical space. Do I have room in my house to move? Do I have a space to go be by myself? What adjustments need to be made to carve that out? I think that's a great place to start. So sometimes what I do is I'll say, okay, my goal is 3 to 4 times a week, I am going to go on a walk by myself. We've been doing a lot of family walking, but in that time by myself, it's a chance to carve out space away from my family, feel like I'm moving. I'll use this time sometimes to listen to a podcast. Maybe you're listening to us right now on your walk. I also will use that time to listen to music. Just scheduling that 20 minutes a day in nature, 20 minutes three times a week in nature, something obtainable that you can do to be able to just carve out that physical self-care.
I love that you mentioned, Julie, just the physical space being a big part of that. And I found for myself during COVID, I have a roommate, and so I basically live in my room, an office in my room. It's been really important for me to make my bed every day. That is not a routine that I was in the practice of prior to COVID, but that is something that I felt is essential, not just because I'm video Zooming with a lot of people and they need to be impressed with my room, but just for my own sense of I'm ready to work and I'm ready to do my day.
I love that. I love it.
Yeah. The next part of self-care that I'm going to talk a little bit about is emotional self-care. And as I mentioned before, when we were talking about anatomy, emotions are tricky. They're really, really tricky. They are, as Julie said, influenced by our families of origin. They're influenced by were we given permission to feel all the feelings? Maybe we were only given permission to feel some of them. And so there may be specific emotions that when you experience them, they feel less safe. So I feel like the primary hot button emotions are fear, sadness, and anger. I think those are the ones that when you prioritize them, those are the ones that are really unsettling. And a lot of times families don't know what to do with them. And our family, sadness was the worst one. And so to this day, whenever I cry, I apologize, even though I am a Tali specialist. And I tell people they can cry all the time. I really have a hard time with that one when it's me that's experiencing that emotion. But with emotions, I think it's important to know that, one, we can get stuck in them, and that feels really helpless and hard. And so emotional self-care focuses on how do I move through that emotion in a way where I feel okay, where I feel comfortable, as comfortable as you can, where I feel like I acted in congruence with who I am as a person, and so I didn't lose my mind because I got angry or whatever. And so how do I do that? And some people are going to want to process their emotions. So they're going to want to name it. They're going to want to look at it like it's a face that you're looking at from 85 different angles. They're going to want to talk about it with their best friend and then their best friend's best friend. And they're going to want to process it a lot. And then there's other people who are going to want to kind of silo it or just acknowledge it and maybe put it on the back burner for a little bit until they have time to process it. And so I think it's important to know kind of how you typically respond to different emotions and that you respond to them at some point. It doesn't maybe have to be right now. For those of y'all that have kids, a lot of times it's I'll handle my emotional meltdown when I have time, but I have three kids that are melting down right now, so I can't. But the important thing is that you do come back to it, that you do attend to your own emotions at some point or another. And that might be that you designate time in your week. Julie suggested when we were brainstorming ideas, having a venting hour. And in my mind, I thought, oh, no way. I don't want to do that for an hour. That felt like too much. And yet I go to therapy for an hour, or I'll watch an emotional movie so that I have time and space to cry, and it's predictable. I know when the sad thing is gonna happen. I know who it's gonna happen to. I know exactly how my emotions have handled that before, and I can usually feel that cathartic release that I need. The other day I needed to cry, but I didn't want to. And so I watched The Bodyguard, and I knew. I knew when the sad thing was gonna happen. Mm-hmm. And I cried. Kevin Costner made it all better, and I moved through it. It was perfect. But sometimes we need to kind of have those designated times because it makes us feel safer to emotionally process whatever it is that we're going through.
Exactly. Kind of looking at our emotional self-care, we also sometimes, one of our most neglected areas of self-care for a lot of us is our psychological self-care. Personally, I think I used to group that with my emotional self-care automatically, but really I love that there has been an intentional focus now on carving out that own specialized space for it. Because what psychological self-care involves is learning the boundaries or the limits that we need to place to help us maintain balance, feel in control. So where emotional self-care is tending to our emotions, psychological self-care is about putting those boundaries in place that are allowing us to stop, set aside some time to then be able to process our emotional self-care. This is a very small and effective way to maintain psychological stress. For example, saying no. What responsibilities or relationships do you have in your life that create toxicity? I'm not saying that you at this point cut those people out of your life, but maybe realize that your interaction with them during this phase, during this pandemic and times where we're already a little more emotionally charged, maybe limiting your contact with them or saying, I am not going to watch the news before I go to bed. I am not going to have this conversation with a friend who's always complaining about how terrible being home is when I'm really kind of having a down day. So it's giving yourself permission to say, you know what? I am going to take a break from that. Another great way that you can kind of process your psychological self-care is to engage your intellectual growth. So some people are using this as a time to dust off their old Pinterest boards and try some new recipes. There are tons of remote access to museums, which I adore. So lots of great online learning that you can do. This is a great time to learn a new culture. In our family, we've been picking a different country every week and kind of using that as a focus for what we're going to do. We will pick meals, like at least one meal that will go with that country. Sometimes we might watch a movie that comes from that country, or we might engage in a game that's more common practiced in that culture. So it's been a fun way to feel like we're traveling the world. There is a great Facebook group that I love to follow called View From My Window. And it's been wonderful too. Every single day you can look out the view of everyone's window around the world. So while I can't hop on an airplane and travel to Cairo or go to Budapest, I can look out the window and see what these people around the world are seeing. And it sends a sense of solidarity that we're all home and we're all self-quarantining. But then also it sends a sense of adventure and places I never even knew existed before, tiny islands in the Mediterranean Sea that I had never heard of before. So really fun way to just kind of grow that intellectual self, but also engaging in those limits and healthy boundaries. So I'd encourage you to look for different apps that are available, different zookeeper sessions, go watch a baby tiger be born, just different things that are out there and available for your family to be able to help process and have that intellectual growth.
Gosh, I love that. Julie, which country are y'all in this week?
We are in France. So we have been exploring all things France this week.
Awesome. Are you making crepes?
We made crepes yesterday for breakfast and they were delicious. They were so good. So again, thank you, Pinterest.
That's awesome. The next section that we're going to talk about is spiritual self-care. And when we think of our spirit or spirituality, a lot of times we can get kind of lost because it can mean different things to different people. And so when I describe my spirit, I usually say that my spirit or my soul is the invisible part of me that makes me me. It's my unique laugh. It's my stubbornness. It's my love for Kevin Costner. It's the fact that daisies are my favorite flower. But those are unique things to me. If you get to know me, those are things you would naturally learn. And my spirituality is connected to how I connect to something bigger than me. And how do I make sense of my world? What is my purpose? Why am I here? And so those are all aspects of my spirituality. For me, I'm a Christian, and so there are religious aspects of what I do with connecting to God. But for those that aren't super religious, that doesn't mean that they don't have any spirituality. They connect with something bigger than themselves in a different way. And so some things that I would encourage you to consider when exploring your spirituality and your spiritual self-care specifically is what is your purpose? Like, a lot of times looking at your values or what things that you're aiming for in your life can often help provide direction for that. And so maybe you and your family are super intellectual. And so you love to read, you love to write, you love to explore new cultures. And so that might be something that you could do, is to explore those different things. So you might be learning a new thing, or you might take Julie's tip and explore a new country or a new culture or whatever. For families that are givers, that want to give back, you might be doing specific fundraisers for different nonprofits or charities that you really care about. You may be giving to your neighbors. If you know that your neighbor is in need, maybe they just lost a job, maybe that's something that you're helping them out in specific ways to demonstrate your generosity. If you're somebody that's an encourager, like knowing that you are a helper in that regard, then you might be somebody that's walking around your neighborhood and writing messages on people's driveway to uplift them. Or I have a friend right now that she loves baking, but she wants her pants to fit at the end of all of this stuff. And so she's baking for other people, and she's finding out what their favorite things are to eat, and she's giving generously in that way. And helping in that way. And so I think spiritual self-care is really about knowing who you are, knowing how you connect with the world around you and things that are bigger than you, and living as consistently or as congruently as you can to who you are and how the values that you hold, you put back into the world. This last section that we're going to talk a little bit about is how you take care of your professional self-care. And sometimes people might think of professional self-care as for those in the workforce, but professional self-care can be for those that aren't in the workforce as well. But it's really looking at how you are a learner, a student, and a contributor to the world around you. And so we know that learning can be invigorating. And finding a way to utilize your special gifting or talents or the things that are unique to you can make you feel really productive and capable and in control. And so you want to be able to engage in those practices to give yourself a boost. And so some things that you might be focused on at this time, maybe if you're super handy, maybe you're doing a new project around the house that helps beautify your house, that helps take care of the people that live in your home, and it also utilizes that part of you that wants to learn, wants to do something new. For me, I like to write, so I've been taking a writing course this year, and during COVID, I've been writing a lot, and so my brain gets really tired from all the Zoom calls, and having an artistic way to engage after the Zoom calls is really therapeutic. And so I've been doing a lot of writing. I also nerd out on Excel spreadsheets. When everything else feels out of control, everything fits in a box in Excel, and it's beautiful. And so I randomly will make an Excel spreadsheet. It's usually not necessary, but it helps me feel better, and it helps me feel in control. And so there may be specific ways that you feel gifted, you feel talented, or you just want to learn something new that will allow you to feel like you're kind of making order out of chaos, which I think is a big part of what we're intended to do as humans. And so I would encourage you to kind of explore that again, whether you're in the workforce or not. And it doesn't have to be what you do for a living that engages your professional self-care. So I'm going to pass the baton back to Julie.
I love it. Our self-care looks really different. I know that I explain this a little bit, but I think it's important to emphasize it looks different in the time of pandemic versus what it looks like when we have the freedoms to move about our entire lives without restrictions. Quite honestly, we're just having to do the work with what we have access to and recognize that it's not going to be our best version of self-care. We understand that. What we are encouraging you to remember is that you are the expert on you. Please, please don't lose sight of this. What feels right and supportive for others may not work for you, and that's totally okay. It's about trying out different things and giving it time to see if it works, and recognize that you're not broken. You're not alone. If you're continuing to feel stress after trying some of these things, It just means you haven't found the right thing that works for you, and that's okay. A couple things that you can do right now to help yourself is, first of all, try to make some time for yourself. Right now, much of that personal time was a part of our daily routines. You know, I got my own time when I was driving to work, when I would be sitting outside of my daughter's soccer practice. It was my chance to have space for myself. Now I have four kids home all the time, so I feel like there's always somebody around me. So I'm not able to get that self-care that I typically carved out for myself by making some time for me. For our chronically ill population of people from Wonders and Worries, many of you specifically chose doctor's appointments or treatment plans that would align with your kids' school schedules, and we recognize that. Now you're having to go to chemotherapy by yourself and have treatment and then come home, and you're still a parent. You're still mom or dad. You're not getting that opportunity to use the time while your kids would normally be at school to get that rest and restoration to be able to then go on and have dinner and bedtime and bath routines with your children. And we recognize that. That is very stressful and very hard. So what we're encouraging you to do is just be intentional about making some space for yourself to recharge and decompress. Allowing yourself to put your children in front of screens so that you can take a nap, or going and taking a walk alone, or taking that shower or bath, designating some time to read, just giving yourself that space to nap and reset for a minute. It's okay to do, and it doesn't make you an absent parent.
Another thing that I think is really important right now is to prioritize healthy choices. And when I say the word health, probably each of you thinks of that in different ways. You might think of healthy foods, you might think of movement and exercise, you might think of healthy boundaries relationally, you might think of when you go to bed. So all of those things are components of our health, and there's more, that's not an exhaustive list. But really looking at what are the things that you need right now. And it's not a time to be setting unrealistic expectations, which is my next point. But, you know, this may not be the time. I had a friend recently who she asked me, she goes, are you going to get Corona abs? And she was talking about her workout plan and how her goal is to get a six pack by the end of this. And I was just like, no, I'm just trying to make sure that my pants button at the end of all of this. And that it's still working.
Yes.
It's working. My pants fit last time I checked, which was last week. But no, I'm not going to get abs, but I am moving my body. I am trying to figure out ways that I can fuel my body with the things that I know it does well with. And so I think finding those balances between having the cookie because it's comforting, but also going for that nightly walk, or you're drinking lemon water and coffee and that adult beverage. Like, all of those things in healthy balance are valuable. And I'm finding that a lot of the parents that I'm talking to, their kids are going to bed earlier and even sleeping later because there's a different kind of fatigue that is happening with all of these Zoom calls and with them being online more. And so try that. Try bumping back your bedtime routine for them, your bedtime routine, so that you're getting the rest that you need to take care of yourself. And then I already kind of alluded to this, but being realistic, not setting unrealistic expectations for yourself that then just frustrate you because you can't keep up with them. Dr. David Anderson, PhD, said that perfectionism and coronavirus don't mix, and there's no playbook for any of this. Nobody knows how to do this, and if we think we do, you just need to watch the news and recognize that everybody is crapshooting on how to do any of this. And so as a parent, you've got to figure out for yourself what's going to work best, and that is really hard when there's no playbook. But what we do know is that being unrealistic and setting expectations that are too high is only going to lead to frustration. It's only going to lead to lack of follow through. And so be kind to yourself and set small goals that you can meet, and then maybe increase those goals if it's really fueling you and taking care of you in a way that's really awesome. So be realistic with those goals.
Another great thing that you can remember to do, and I know we touched on this, but set boundaries. We know that anxiety and stress are running high for almost every family right now. Maybe your source of income has been compromised. Maybe you've lost your support person for chemo days, or you have a fear of catching coronavirus because of your weakened immune system. With all that worry, it can be easy for us to absorb other people's worries and fears. And so we talk about social distancing. Sometimes a little bit of emotional distancing is okay as well. So using that space to hit your do not disturb button on your phone, if your phone is blowing up with a friend who is maybe more negative or more stuck in a rut, or if you are trying to carve out some time for yourself and you're on a group text chain that just keeps firing up, leave your phone at home. Go for a walk without a device. Let yourself have those boundaries and limits to keep you accountable for your own peace of mind. And then know that you can always go back and reconnect when things are calmer, either calmer in your day or calmer when this is all behind you. Also, this is a great opportunity to reconnect with things you enjoy. So, what can you do with this enforced time at home? Is there a hobby you've set aside that your busier self couldn't do? Is there a skill that you were hoping to learn? I think it's important to start small. I love Crystal's writing challenge. I know that there are drawing challenges, there are yoga challenges on social media. You can watch YouTube videos on how to knit or make challah bread or do a puzzle, plant a garden, just anything that cultivates interest and kind of helps with your processing and passing of time. I think there's a lot out there, and I'm excited to see what our population decides to do.
Oh, we are getting close to wrapping up our time, and I just am so appreciative to be invited to be a part of this. And I hope that you will take from this again what Julie said, what works for you. Like, you are different than your husband, who is different than your kid. And so, really take this time to experiment what works for you, and what fills you up. You are of incredible value. We need you. Your kids need you. This community needs you. And so please do the things that help fill you up so that you can be your beautiful self, in the ways that you are.
We also understand that if you are feeling overwhelmed about your stress with illness or concerned with how to support your children while undergoing treatment for your chronic illness, we encourage you to reach out to our Wonders and Worries helpline. Our helpline was designed to be able to connect with families all over the United States and be able to talk them through how to support your children best. You can contact our helpline number at 1-844-939-6633. And Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, there's a child life specialist who will be available on the call to help guide your conversations, help identify resources maybe in your community, and work through and navigate different complexities that people facing chronic illness have with children. You can also find more information about that program and other programming on our website at wondersandworries.org. More than anything, just know how much we appreciate this community. Know that we are all trying to navigate our stress and our self-care, especially in times of this pandemic. And we are encouraging you to try and take the best care of yourself that you can. We do hope that you tune in to future podcasts to come, as every topic will be different and feature different voices in our community. Thank you for tuning in today. Have a great day.